You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So legalism, characterized by a rigid adherence to religious rules and regulations, and self-righteousness marked by a prideful reliance on one's own efforts for salvation, stand in stark contrast in the liberating truth of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. In this exploration, we delve into the perils of legalism and self-righteousness in the Christian faith, examining how works-based approaches to salvation can undermine the grace of God and lead to performance-based mentality. And we're joined on the line by my elder, Elder Jonathan Nyamba Mfundisi. Ooh, my elder, how are you?
Fine, how are you, Sissy?
I am good, and you?
Very well, very well.
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us, Abdallah. I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer before we start?
Shall we pray? Our God and our loving Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you to thank you for the privilege and blessing of life. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We ask that, Lord, in all that we do and say, may our minds be synchronized to heaven. That only that which is approved of heaven will be spoken of us. Mm. That our ways of life, our deeds, O God, and the thoughts, meditation of our hearts will all be pleasing before you. Thank you for this opportunity to interact and engage. As we do so, we uplift your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, what is legalism and how does it manifest in the Christian faith? And what are some common legalistic attitudes that believers encounter?
Well, legalism is a very tough subject, because legalists all the time want to show that they can secure their own righteousness in God's sight by their deeds, by their good works. So it will show itself in ugly faces where people, you know, want to think that they have read more, they have more merits before God in the things that they say. They want to be concerned about what others, you know, dress. There are certain things, maybe the style of worship. Others will say, well, you can't play drums, you can't play this kind of things. Basically, they want to believe within themselves that, you know, they have things that they can approve. They literally have a list of do's and don'ts of how to get to heaven. If a person does not perform according to their requirements, that person cannot make it. So it's their way of doing things, the obedience payment. So it can show itself in many attributes, even what initially is good, but then it begins to be treated as though it's a requirement. You've heard how people can abuse something, even just in educating members about, let me give you a very, you know, honest example, like tithing.
Okay.
Some people would want to use it up until to an ordinary member, it becomes a temple tax. But look, if a member understands that why I return a faithful tithe and offering is because tithe is me returning to God what belongs to him. And the offerings is because I am equating, I'm appreciative of his love. So once a member or a person understands that this is my love, my response to God's love, it carries a different meaning. But a legalist will use the same. And the, more or less like, if you don't return a tithe, you cannot go to heaven. Okay, the Sabbath. Others can even be Sabbath burdened. Okay, it becomes a burden and a yoke. And it, as a legalist, you will see that the Sabbath now becomes the, you want to think to say that the way you, if a person does not keep the Sabbath the way you keep it, they cannot go to heaven. So really, it's just the attribute that people have to think that their strict obedience and their good works are the ones that affect their salvation, ignoring that it is only by faith and faith alone, saved by grace through faith.
So, Mdala, how does now self-righteousness differ from genuine righteousness based on faith in Christ? And what are the dangers of cultivating a self-righteous mindset?
So, when we talk about self-righteousness, it comes from the aspect that there are two works, the works by God and works by man. When you, for example, you look at the Pharisees, Jesus gave a story in Luke chapter 18 of Pharisees, a Pharisee and a tax collector.
Mm.
The Pharisee is busy praying and he is saying, Lord, I am not like that man over there. I fast. You know, I retain a tithe of everything I possess. He went ahead to list the things that he is able to do on his own.
Mm.
But the other, the tax collector, a sinner, if you like, a publican, he could not even raise his head to God, but immediately simply says, Lord, have mercy because I am an evildoer. There's nothing else to condemn from me. So then you can see that the attitude of Pharisees, or rather the attitude of legalists around us, is where you believe that you are a good person.
Mm.
You are good. You know, I heard somebody tell me many years ago, he said, man, if you get to heaven and you don't find me, know that you are not in heaven.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, while it is true that faith trusts wholly in Christ for salvation, it will lead to perfect conformity of the law of God.
Mm.
Because faith manifests itself in works. So in other words, when we are in Christ, it is not that we will not have, we will not keep the law, but we will keep the spirit of the law, because there's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. What Jesus kept on emphasizing, you find somebody who is sick and somebody who is dying and you are rushing to go and preach, will you say the sermon is more important than this person? We just have to accept, all of us, we are sinners saved by grace.
Mm.
This salvation is all out of Christ. We can't pretend to be more organized than God himself. No. Let's just take it as God is. It is his completed work that out of his mercy, he looks at each one of us and he says, my son, you are also grafted to be a part of this. And we embrace it and we move. And he looks at us in a different way.
Yeah, indeed. I don't know when we arrive, wherever we are arriving. If I see you, I think I will think we are in heaven.
When we meet you and me, we'll be home.
Yes, we'll be sorted. We'll be sorted now. So, can we now get biblical examples of individuals or groups of people who succumbed to legalism and self-righteousness? And what lesson can we learn from what they went through?
Well, like I said, I think the first one would be a group of Pharisees in that parable that Jesus gave. I think when you follow it critically, you and me especially, who are Adventists, let's speak to ourselves first of all. Legalism, many times we as Adventists have been accused of legalism to an extent where our religion has not been attractive to other people. Because for us, we believe that, you see, as long as a person is not doing what we are doing, they are far from, they are infidels. Where can they go? Because they eat pork, they keep, they worship on a different day other than the Sabbath. But you see, the perfect examples, even without going to the Bible examples, is our attitude ourselves. How do we treat others? How do we treat people who have not come to the full knowledge of Christ? Because legalists focus on only obeying bare rules, destroying the borders and the context that God has set up for love and redemption of other people.
Mm.
So we ourselves, when we obey the rules, so much so that a girl who comes in slacks in church, she's not Adventist. She was straying. I worshipped at a church one time, and in my church, I'm seated, and a girl comes in slacks, and the deaconesses panic. They find a wrapper and they give her because she is unworthy. I got interested afterwards. I reached out to her and I said, Sissy, welcome.
Mm.
You are welcome in your father's house. You are visiting us. She says, I am actually visiting from Namibia.
Mm.
I came here to visit my relation. And today I felt like praying, just worshiping. I came out and I don't know this place. And I went round and round and round. You won't believe it. I was led to this church.
Mm.
But so I felt so bad that at the expense of her maintaining our own rules, the decorum, we are not able to, this person is not able to see the bigger picture of the love of God.
Yes.
So examples of legalism are amongst ourselves. We divorce obedience from the relationship.
Mm.
Because if you have a relationship with Christ, you will look beyond the faults. No wonder you find today many young people are not finding peace in the church because of the way we treat young people based on their rules. No love at all. What we see for us is we just want to deal with a misnomer. And that makes people feel there is no love here. And notice, last week, a young man was telling me, he came from Germany. He had been studying in Germany,
mm-hmm.
and he visited a church where he wanted to transfer back his membership.
Yeah.
And he went there, and nobody even dared to greet him and give him where to sit. When the service was ended, an announcement was made, and then stewardship was doing a survey. They handed him a form. And on that form, they wanted to know the bracket where he was in terms of his earning. He said, no way. You are interested in my income, but you're not interested in me.
Mm.
So you find that these are things that we can learn practically from ourselves to say, yes, the Pharisees took more interest in obeying the law of God. I am told the Pharisees added more rules to it, that spitting was a sin. I had a very tough grandfather. In fact, I used to think he's one of the 144,000. He told me you have to pick a specific suit to wear for the Sabbath.
Mm.
You bath on Friday evening, and the Sabbath you just clean your face and you take off. Anything else, you are breaking the Sabbath.
Mm.
Those are okay. But you see, we, at the end of the day, in trying to follow these rules, are we sure that we will not teach traditions of men instead of the word of God? Are we sure that we will not heap up unto ourselves restrictions that we will not take anyone anywhere? We treat the law of God as if we are holier than Christ himself.
Hey.
And I don't know. I really pray that the spirit of legalism amongst us as Adventists, the Lord may heal us by coming close to him, so that while we are going to exercise true faith in Christ Jesus, it will lead to the perfect conformity of the law. As we conform to the law of God, many will admire, because when it comes to the law of the land, we will be the most obedient. Why? Because we love God.
Mm.
And the love of God helps us to go even over and above the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law.
Mm. Mm. So, Mdalawami, as we wrap it up, how do works-based approaches to salvation contribute to a performance-based mentality where individuals feel pressured to earn God's favor through their own efforts?
Works will never save anyone.
Mm.
The scripture has told us time and time again that God prepared good works for his people to accomplish.
Mm.
In other words, when we who are God's handiwork are created in Christ by the good works, that already entails, you remember Ephesians, it must be Ephesians chapter 2, which is talking about how God has already prepared all these. So you and me don't have to reinvent the wheel, if I may say. The works that we so desire, crave to do, we don't have to list them to say what is an ideal Christian. What are the KPIs of a Christian? That when I tick this box, I will be there. You see, even the way we arrange our programs will not be because of that. Because in Christ, the good works that we are supposed to do are already prepared in advance. When we are born again, the fruit will begin to show. So there is indeed a very strong relationship between works and Christian life. But these works are as a result of us obeying God in love. We will not abuse our Christian freedom, no, but we will hear God when he says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments.
Yes.
You've heard other people talk about cheap grace, which is trivializing the aspect of keeping the law. Such behavior is going to now, you know, bring confusion amongst us, because there are some people who trivialize everything. No, you're just being a legalist. You want to behave in a becoming manner. Like yesterday I said, the principle is when we have freely received the grace of God, Christ himself will teach us. I don't have to tell you, Sisi, how short your skirt is. The mirror will tell you.
Hey.
Honestly speaking, when you go to the mirror will tell you to say, no, this is too short. You are going to be a stumbling block to brethren. Do you want somebody at church to come and approach you? No. So it is those things. And so you will not dress in, you will not put on a long skirt because salvation is in the long skirt. No. You will put on a long skirt because you, as a saved child of God, you do not want to lead others to sin while they look at you. So the love you have for God will make you, in all the things that you do, to be mindful to lead others to Christ. If I am right, you know, lastly, as I wind up, you hear what Paul says. Paul is arguing and he's saying, It is within my right to even be paid from Jerusalem as I work for the Lord. But you have seen, I have not asked for that. I do my own tent making business. Now, the point Paul is trying to argue all through is that you can be right. It is your right. But sometimes you give up your right because you want others to be saved. So the viewpoint of a legalist to salvation is distorted. When a child of God is doing the very same works, it is because they have considered to be taught by God the love, the works of righteousness, and they know that it's because they are justified. That is why they are doing what they are doing.
If you love God, keep my commandments. Mdala, please do offer a word of prayer for us.
Loving and living God in heaven, it is you, Jesus, who said, there are many things I would love to teach you, but you're not able to understand. Father, our minds are limited. Our capacity to grasp the heavenly concepts is so shallow. We only depend upon the finished works. There are many young people today, Lord, who are lost between living right and living carelessly, because we sometimes blow both hot and cold. I want to pray, Father, that there is light for the wise who are seeking for salvation. When you have come in our lives, when you have come in my life, sincerely speaking, my life will never be the same. You will change my life to an extent that we don't know what we will become. But what we know is that we grow in the similitude of Jesus. Father, I plead and pray for everyone under the sound of my voice who sincerely is seeking your presence, that, Lord, lead them on to from uncommon ground, take them to higher ground, that they will live a life impeccable, that while we are growing in grace, From strength to strength, we will keep growing up until we are able to reflect your love. Lord, it is in the spirit of prophecy where it is recorded that those who think themselves are standing, in fact, the Bible says, those who think they are standing should be careful because they are about to fall. There is no room for pride. Our salvation is by grace and grace alone, through faith in Jesus. And so because we are saved through Christ Jesus, help us that we walk with Jesus, that he alone will teach us what to do. We will speak circumspectly like they that will be judged by the law of liberty, conscious that are my words going to hurt my brother? The love of Christ in us will direct us. It will strengthen us from doing evil because we love you so much and we don't want to offend you. Thank you for this privilege. In the evening, dotted around this Zambia, we have the Christ Jesus Saves Crusade, the SID Zambia, the Impact Zambia Crusades. Those of us you're privileged to speak in these crusades, Jesus, I pray, may you call your own that are lost to you, to the saving knowledge, that ultimately we will rejoice when this world is finally ended and you are taking us home, only because we have believed in you, trusting that we are saved by your completed work. Thank you because you heard our prayer. We make it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much for coming through. And may you have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Do have a good day too, sis.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.